Content marketing is evolving to mean more than just pumping content out there and expecting it to create leads for you.
All right, it's time for another episode of Grow the Dream today.
Do you need a mobile app for your company? And if not, what do you need for mobile?
The death of content marketing.
Really?
Viagra on Periscope?
Oh my.
What is that all about? And a way to help you create lead magnets.
All right, looking forward to it.
All that and more coming up right now.
Welcome to the most indispensable show for people doing the hard work of growing your business. It's the marketing podcast by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. Welcome to Grow the Dream.
All right, welcome to episode 66.
Grow the Dream.
Hey, I like it.
GTD show.
Was that like a Jetsons thing, or is just am I just reaching into the distant dark past?
Not at all.
My subconscious.
I'm not actually sure what tune I'm on.
I didn't recognize anything.
Well, I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about the actual.
All right.
Okay, I like it.
That doesn't ring a bell.
Nonetheless, it doesn't mean anything.
It's very jinglish, though. So I'm glad to be back in the studio because I tell you what, I listened to last week's show and it sounded like I was way.
Did it sound like you were in a basement in North Georgia?
Yeah, it kind of did, actually. It sounded like I was in a tin can somewhere. It was a terrible audio. I don't know why I left the town in a hurry and forgot to take a mic.
Yeah, what kind of a radio personality are you?
Podcast
professional.
When I've traveled in the past, I've remembered it, but for some reason, I don't know.
I assumed you were wearing a secret mic like at all times.
Well, there's that one, but I try not to tell people
secret
about that one.
Podcaster man.
Wow, we got another Rod Zwingle.
Oh, you know, David, you do have to.
No, I don't have to.
You made a deal with Rod.
I did not. I just said, Rod.
Oh, I remember it.
I just said Rod has to go first. Clearly. I didn't say I would go second.
Yeah.
Any jury in the land would hold you to that contract.
Well, all right. Line them up. I want to meet 12 of my peers and have this conversation.
Oh, you're gonna use the peer card against
Yes,
this.
Well, that's juries. You said jury. I'm just going with the jury thing. Right. Brew of the day is boring. It's a blend. It is pretty good. It's a blend because there's a mystery set of beans in there that were unlabeled that I mixed in with all the other stuff.
Mystery beans.
Mystery beans are fun.
Yeah, they are.
Mystery beans?
So,
mystery.
News this week.
Yeah, I can't wait to
talk about it.
I want to do this story. It's not exactly news, but it is really an interesting perspective. This is from Torque Mag. TorqueMag.io, which I am, as you guys know, a WordPress enthusiast, and I'm wearing my Code is Poetry
dork
shirt
nerd.
from sure. WordCamp Miami.
You are 100%.
Torque Mag is like nerd. A WordPress magazine. It's like all the word that's fit to press, which is
okay.
Published by WP Engine. But anyway, they have a story.
Oh, really?
Here. Yeah, it is. It's called How WordPress, AMP, and Instant Articles Will Revolutionize the Internet. And, of course, we've talked about these before, but if you're not familiar with them, AMP is, people say it's a Google project, but Google is leading it. It's open source. It's accelerated mobile pages, and it's a spec that allows you to run really super fast code for mobile users.
And they like to feature it for news articles or news searches, I'm seeing.
Yeah, the Google search carousel is featuring
right up
AMP.
Top.
And they're kind of not living up to their promise to feature sites that have great speed. They're featuring sites that have AMP.
Yeah.
So I'm a little dubious about that. But Instant Articles is Facebook's thing, which started out only open to big publishers and is now open to everybody.
Yeah, and I've been...
You've been testing it.
We've been hearing my journey to get Instant Articles going.
I see smoke coming out of Josh's ears.
Okay, so PageFrog hasn't been updated in 2 months, and a lot has happened in 2 months. So I don't know what's going on with those guys.
Okay, so PageFrog, for you, those of you not aware, is a simple WordPress plugin that allows you to run AMP and Instant Articles on your WordPress site, and it just does it for you.
Fantastic idea, except the RSS feed that it generates that you're supposed to submit to your Facebook page to generate Instant Articles, which I went through the very laborious process.
There it is.
Yeah.
Whatever. Of putting that together, and it wouldn't work. It only pulled in two of my articles for some reason.
Oh, no.
I was like, okay, fine, I'll come back to it. But even getting to that point was like a serious ordeal.
Because I remember the last time we talked about this, you had been through a bunch of work on it and it still hadn't done anything yet. So
yeah.
Two articles is kind of an improvement, but you had more than 10 in your feed, right?
Right. First you have to ask Facebook to turn on the feature. Then you have to go in, edit the feature, configure your feed, get 10 items in there and submit. I'm still stuck on
trying to get 10 items
into their thing so that I can submit it. So yesterday I finally said, all right, forget PageFrog. I'm going to go find something else. Found one. It's called Instant Articles 4WP, I think is what it is.
Okay.
Is plugin. Same idea, just for Instant Articles. I was like, all right, fine. Like, forget AMP right now.
By the way, that's the one, Instant Articles, not the number four, but spelled out F-O-R, Instant Articles 4WP. That's the one that is in this Torque Mag article.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, perhaps it's the same one. I don't remember if it was the number four or not.
Oh, because it was created by Automattic. That's why. So Automattic is the company that runs WordPress.com. And Automattic.
They made this plugin that you're talking
about? They made the original AMP WordPress plugin, and they made the one called Instant Articles for WP.
I wonder if that's the one I'm using.
Did you get it off of GitHub?
No.
So you found it in the WordPress repository?
Yeah.
Yeah, then that's theirs.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So anyway, so that is sort of working.
Okay.
I set it up. Crazy thing. So not only do you have to integrate it with your page, but then to get this plugin to working, you have to go create an app for your Facebook page.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You have
to do that for any integration with Facebook.
Right.
Yeah.
But still, another thing you have to figure out, another thing you have to get a secret code for.
Just for the record, for those of you listening, you don't have to actually be a developer and write an app, but there's a developer Facebook section you have to go to and say, okay, I need an app, and they generate an app ID and some other stuff. You have to do a couple of minor things like set up you have to put a title in, and you have to you don't have to upload
but
artwork,
these
but
minor
can.
Things are going to keep a majority
That's
of publishers
true. That's
from
true.
Creating instant articles.
It's a lot of friction.
And what I've learned is that Facebook is now prioritizing these instant articles in the algorithm that's already so tough to get anything to get. So, you know, I'm looking for any edge that I can get on content
Absolutely.
I'm producing. So that's why I'm
we should work on
this
week.
This crap.
Why don't you and I connect up this week and we'll work on it for Grow the Dream Show. We'll see if we can get some of our articles in there. And then let's see how if we can make it work. Because I'd love to test this out. I feel like it needs to be done because I know that Facebook is A-B testing some stuff. I heard this week about an A-B test where they're running a new feature in the mobile app that allows people to decide what type of news they want in their feed from which sources. So if you can get into instant articles, it's going to give you a bigger edge even than you might already be aware of.
Oh, fantastic.
So, anyway, I think that's something. So here's why all of this really matters. So Google's initiative is all about speed because mobile users everywhere are like, it takes too long to load. And that's a real drain on your LTE data, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, when you're using your smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the goals of AMP is not just to make it faster, but also to reduce the amount of code you have to load, which is part of your data usage, right?
Yeah, sure.
Instant articles, on the other hand, is Facebook's way of saying, we really don't want you to escape from Facebook and get out into the web.
Yeah.
We just want to keep you here on Facebook.
Right.
And you know, it's been Mark Zuckerberg's stated objective from the very beginning to just replace the internet.
Well, and they have Facebook. Their own ad program. It's called Audience Insights, right?
Oh, for publishers?
Yeah.
Yeah, which allows you to run ads and collect revenue from your articles.
Right.
So you would if they went to your website.
Now, I did notice that they also have another option. You can actually do third-party ads, not Facebook's ads, in their instant articles.
But I think most of our listeners and most of us, we don't really care so much about collecting revenue from our stuff. We just want to be able to drive traffic and get people to our stuff. Right. So anyway, the point of bringing this up today is that the internet in the developing world is the big issue. Because WordPress combined with AMP and Instant Articles make a killer method, if you can get it working, to deliver content to over half of the world's population that doesn't use the internet yet.
Wasn't Facebook trying to create its own internet portal?
Internet.org.
Yeah, exactly.
And they got shut down because they were zero rating Facebook content. And India, and I think rightfully so, although I'm dubious about whether the government should have a role in this or not, but I think their intention was correct, which was Facebook, you're just really trying to get Facebook users.
Yeah.
And zero rating is a way that companies do that sort of thing. And we're seeing it now. It's a net neutrality issue. You know, there
is the problem with it is not just the government's role, which is problematic, but also, so instead of them having just Facebook access, they still have no access.
Well, and I get that too. So, you know,
so it's like, well, if we can't have everything, we're not going to take anything. And that seems like a poor philosophy.
Right. So, you know, WordPress and Instant Articles and AMP can have a massive impact globally. And that's the point of this article, is really just how it's going to revolutionize the internet.
56% of people, 55 or 56% of people do not have access to the internet today.
Isn't that crazy?
That's a lot.
Yeah, it really is.
I think the statistic was more people had a smartphone than had access to the internet, which I'm like, how do those two statistics marry? But whatever. If you have a smartphone, you should have data.
Well, China is why. Because China, you know, and the Great Firewall.
Oh.
they don't let people out onto the internet. You know, there's that sort of in-house version of the internet. We could call it like the great intranet of China that they have access to. Jeez. But they don't have access to the rest of it. So
and we make all of our access. iPhones
in China.
In Shenzhen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's a whole different conversation. Yeah.
All right. So we have another story, Rod.
Yeah, well, you got something? Just briefly, speaking of things that are not revolutionizing the internet, I think, is Periscope. Because Periscope, this was just something I came across, and it maybe is sort of a bit of a leading indicator, but there's an eye on the FDA.com. It's a blog.
This is my kind of blog already.
Exactly. They're watching the FDA and all. But what they did was they did a quick bit of research on the number of pharmaceutical companies that have a Periscope handle created and are doing something with it, and only about 44% of them did. And what they found was the FDA, there's no FDA one at all. So the FDA, the government, I'm just thinking, is generally clueless about this whole Periscope thing. And my question is, so if commercial and government enterprises are not necessarily finding any use for this, is it going to be of limited value? I don't feel like it had this big jump off at the start, but I'm not sure that it has a whole lot of legs to it necessarily.
I'm trying to figure out what Big Pharma is doing on Periscope. Like,
right.
This is Viagra ads to a whole different level. I don't even know what to make of.
I almost think like they're sticking their toe in the water to see if there's something there for them or not.
Oh, I get, you know, like sponsoring Kim Kardashian on Periscope or something like that, but they're trying to create their own following. On Periscope.
Interesting.
Yes. Exactly.
Okay.
And 11 out of the top 25 have Periscope. That's interesting. Yeah. I just okay.
I know. I found it interesting too, but I am dubious about the Periscope phenomenon being.
I am also dubious.
All right. Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking about the death of content marketing. I just feel like it's another death of something. This is just one of the favorite sources of headlines.
It sounds like clickbait, but this is interesting.
Well, we'll see.
This is an interesting conversation.
Right. So, Josh, tell me about this the start of vitamins, because I think this is fun. I actually went to their website and I've been remarketed like crazy for a little while.
They got their remarketing down.
Particular mug you were checking out?
Yeah, it was a mug. It was definitely a mug. And when our listeners go to start of vitamins, they'll see the mug. But what is it?
The mug?
No.
No. Well,
come on. Get stuff done.
Except it's not stuff.
Yeah.
What's Startup Vitamins?
It's a place you can get some, you know, cool stuff for your office or for your home office or if you're a startup founder and you like startup-y stuff.
Yeah, but I feel like it's kind of a new version of Successories. Do you remember Successories?
Nope.
Yeah.
Successories, you would recognize them because they've become internet memes all over the place. But they're But they're these framed, beautiful art prints that have a little quote or something underneath them. It'll be like perseverance, you know, and then it'll have a little quote underneath, and there'll be some nature scene or whatever.
Seen those yes,
they were very popular in the 90s, so that might be why you haven't seen them. Yeah. But I feel like this is sort of the modern version of this. Like you can get posters, you can get mugs, iPhone cases, hats, hoodies, t-shirts, stickers, wall decals. There's a lot of fun stuff in there.
Yeah. Check it out.
Hard work beats talent. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, quality is the best business plan. Don't
show
compromise.
Your determination.
This is accessories. Yeah.
It is kind of, yeah.
Entrepreneurship dream.
Yeah.
Complaining is not strategy.
Cool swag.
Well, check it out.
Yeah, all right. I'd say it's like it's a swag store.
So it's fun stuff, and you can find things for your office. Check it out. Visit gtdshow.com/startup. gtdshow.com/startup. All right. So, Josh, this story on the death of content marketing, why brands must become cultural currency. This was something that you brought to our attention this week. And, of course, I probably would not have read it.
Just because of the headline?
Just because yeah, they said it. The death of content marketing. It's like, please.
But they're using that as for content marketing.
Okay. Let's start from the beginning. Let's forget that the headline is that.
Okay.
Even as I write this on Medium and will publish on my personal website and maybe LinkedIn, the reality is less people are taking in the written word, opting instead for junk food media, which comes in highly shareable and snackable bits of sticky, mobile optimized content. So then he goes on to state, but the problem is, so there's more and more of this content, but the problem is most of it's not that good. Sure. And even if it is, the amount of effort it takes to make sure that content will travel far and wide makes for considerable effort. Many will do this well, but even more will fail. So people doing this well, BuzzFeed, small snackable content, far and wide, native on every stinking platform imaginable.
But not even publishing it on their own website anymore.
Yes.
Right.
So that's the perfect way to, like, they, I think, epitomize this trend.
So they're the McDonald's of content.
Yes.
Okay.
So then he tries to answer the question, what does this mean for brands? And what he tries to make the point, and he's talking a lot about like influencer marketing and stuff in here as well, but he says that culture and creating culture and relevant subcultures is the future of kind of the next generation of content marketing. So his title, really what he's saying is not content marketing is dead, but content marketing is evolving to mean more than just pumping content out there and expecting it to create leads for you. You need to start thinking, how is what I'm creating telling the story of culture somehow, or not of culture, but of the culture of your business? And the point he makes is a lot of brands won't be able to do that, especially the big brands. Like, because some of these subcultures are kind of small microcosms, it's a different strategy. And so then he kind of basically goes into it and says, like, what you're going to have to do, these bigger brands, they're going to have to partner with people who have ins in these subcultures and kind of almost craft their brand message around folks like this.
So I feel like he's saying, he's talking a lot about creating cultures, but he doesn't mean creating a culture inside your company necessarily.
Oh, yes.
Because leadership often talks about creating a culture and corporate culture and that sort of stuff. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about actually making your brand a cultural thing. Like,
yes.
Like, and so he talks about like culture creators who thrive in subcultures.
And I think we should make, like, these are digital marketing, like online cultures, because this is in the context of like content marketing. So I think that's what he's getting at, is culture online.
Okay, so here's a section which he's quoted out of a Harvard Business Review article. And this is, I think, relevant to what you're talking about here. While companies have put their faith in branded content for the past decade, brute empirical evidence is now forcing them to reconsider. In YouTube or Instagram rankings of channels by number of subscribers, corporate brands barely appear. Well, I think that's, you know, understandable. Only three have cracked the YouTube top 500. Instead, you'll find entertainers you've never heard of appearing as if from nowhere. And his example here is PewDiePie. And I happen to love PewDiePie, but I have a feeling maybe I'm nerdy enough. You've heard of him.
Yeah.
Rod, had you
heard of him.
You'd heard of him? Okay, yeah. So maybe he's more well-known than I thought. But I think the reason you've heard of PewDiePie, but probably not the next one on the list, is because PewDiePie is like the top YouTube creator in terms of money earned of all time.
Yeah, he made like $10 million last year.
And he moved from Sweden, which is where he's from, and he now lives in like some countryside chalet in Italy.
Oh, really?
Like, oh, yeah, totally. The guy's like spending major money on himself, which, God bless him. I mean, you know, he earned it. But here's what PewDiePie
countryside
does.
Countryside chalet?
I'm that's a really bad use of French for an Italian thing, because I couldn't think of a word for the Italian name for a...
Are we talking like Tuscany?
I don't know. Anyway, it's
Tuscany's
nice.
Gorgeous.
You would want to live there, wherever it is. I don't remember where it is. But so here's what this guy does, though. This is the thing that is so mind-boggling. PewDiePie plays video games on YouTube. What he does.
And then talks about them on his planet, right?
Yeah, so. It's called Play It. What do you used to record like? It's
Twitch.
Play It?
Well, it used to be Twitch. I don't know what the software is.
There's a new thing. I think it's like Play Me or Play It or something.
But anyway, he shows up and you see him in a little box in the corner. And he's wearing his little headset and he is commenting about the games. And it is hilarious.
So he's got a quick wit and he's funny and it's on video games, which is a natural platform.
You can't describe this. You haven't watched him.
I'm summing it up here based on what you guys are saying.
But as of January 2016, he had 11 billion views and his YouTube channel had more than 41 million subscribers. This guy is a phenomenon.
Oh, well,
right. he's a one-man phenomenon.
This says a lot about you, the fact that you like him.
Right.
Because
I haven't watched, just for the record, I haven't watched a lot of
his humor is teenage boy humor.
Okay.
Lots of poop jokes.
Yeah. Rod, you'd like him.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
No, but he's also geeky. I kind of am excited that he's a cultural phenomenon, but I can't really say why. I don't know why.
Here's my question, though, so he's a cultural phenomenon, but that hardly ever translates into how should marketers go about their business for their company? Because you can't recreate something like
that.
No,
but you can sponsor PewDiePie. Of course, he'd be expensive to sponsor. But I think this article's point is that really you're not going to be able to get into the subculture that PewDiePie has. You're going to need to co-opt it somehow by working with people who are in there.
Well, so what do you mean by co-opt? I mean, are we talking about like targeted advertising the old way? What are you talking about as far as working with them or co-opting
The way PewDiePie made that million, $10 million or whatever the number was is from ads running on his videos.
Sure.
So yeah, you could do that.
So that's old school.
Yeah.
But that's not what this made it. Because here's what I'm concerned, what I'm confused about here, Josh, is that he's talking about how, you know, things are... It's junk food media, highly shareable, snack bits, sticky, right? We know that. So it's super shallow, it clickbaity, easy. How does that go into a deeper culture? How do you translate that trend towards that to digging deeper into a culture for a brand?
Well, I think the idea is you create products and you cater it towards that subculture that you're going after.
Yeah, he makes an interesting point in this article that the kind of influence that you need can't actually be bought. So he's saying this kind of influence can't be bought, it must be earned. However, increasingly, cultural influencers such as YouTubers required paid means to collaborate with. The influencer ecosystem can be broken down as, and then he's got several categories, cultural influencers, reputational influencers, media influencers. So he's really kind of reshaping the paradigm about how we think of even publicity, right? Because your media influencers,
right?
And he uses the example of the Time magazine article. Journalists and media companies are the ones who are sort of the mediators of that category, but he's talking about how to get into and influence them in a way that's not what we would normally think of as PR.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, does this work then if you're, let's take podcasts, because we're familiar with that. You take very popular podcasts, then let's say there's a popular exercise podcast.
Okay.
And you're Coca-Cola company, and you're creating a product that is a high energy drink specifically for a type of workout and exercise that's very popular.
You're saying healthy Coke product?
Oh, yeah, right. So,
Dasani.
But you want to get on that podcast.
Yeah.
As a guest, as a sponsor, as both or either, as far as what this is talking about, is that where we're going with this?
I don't think so. I think he's saying
you can't recreate that. It's not like Coke can go out and create their own podcast,
right?
No, I think what he's saying is like if there's a podcast of people that like healthy food, you go find out like who those people really are. You talk to that host and you create a custom product. Like a co-branded product, like things like that, like not
so
just
you
saying
use that as
oh,
market,
yeah,
market
yeah, not
research.
Just saying like oh, I have a product, let's go out and find
Other
all these people
around.
To partner with. Yeah, you like
you're
partner
saying,
with
okay,
them.
Okay, so you're saying that the market research is done for you; it's already
exactly.
right there, And so what you need to do is say, okay, how can we reach that market with a product we can create? Okay.
Perfect example is people creating like all these beard oil like companies, things like that. They all have this same like rustic, not rustic, how do I describe them? Like hipster kind of appeal. So like their whole branding strategy is catered towards hipsters. And you could say like that's a subculture of these folks. So
yeah,
they don't
it's
just
kind of lumberjackish, actually. Yeah, it's absolutely. Kind of hipster meets lumberjack. In fact, I have I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay in my head now from
Okay.
So here's Rod, to your point though. Here's one of the things here's a section from the article that I think is fascinating, because he's talking about how that these influencers cannot afford to be caught doing traditional marketing,
right?
Because it destroys their credibility. So here's what he says. These digital stars must remain genuine and relatable, which makes working with them a challenge, as brands must learn to collaborate versus dictate heavy-handed marketing.
Oh, yeah.
Also, brands must develop repeatable ways they can work with all levels of these types of influencers. As it is an emerging space, often requiring complex contracts, disclaimers, and transparency, it brings new operational dynamics to the table.
Right, so that's one arm of it.
It's a collaborative thing.
Right, when they're collaborating. That's one arm that's a little bit complicated. But you could actually just look at those podcasters, at those YouTube channels, maybe even bloggers, and say, what is this market, and how passionate are they, and how involved are they, and can our company create a product that meets a need in that market without even going through the collaborative route? Because it's like you have all this market research that companies have paid millions of dollars for in the past just sitting there public.
Yeah. And the question isn't just, can we do that? But the prediction is that within 5 years, YouTube stars will consume the entire top 20 celebrity influencer list. So
yeah, that's mind boggling.
Think about that for a minute. I mean, we're saying out go the TV stars, out go the movie stars. I think musicians are still going to be YouTube top people, because YouTube, I mean, is where you go to listen to music if you're,
sure,
you know, 15 years old today. Yeah. You know what I mean? You don't.
Yeah.
Like when I was a kid in the 80s, you turned on MTV, which was at itself very disruptive. But you would do that because, you know, the radio was kind of, you know, so you'd watch MTV instead. And of course, now MTV doesn't even play music videos. I don't know when that happened, but I was apparently.
I didn't even know MTV was still on.
Yeah. They create shows. But YouTube is now the place where kids go to listen to music. So and that's not news, I'm sure, to most of us. But it's just the point is that all the media landscape is changing. I listened to a very fascinating discussion this week, you guys, that you probably would enjoy. Rod, you particularly would enjoy. It was on This Week in Google, which is a podcast that I sometimes listen to with Leah Laporte and Jeff Jarvis. And they had a couple of guests on, but they were talking about the transition that's happening not just in media or journalism, but politically even, where all the elite structures are crumbling. For example, in the political parties, of course, the Clintons represent the elites in the Democratic Party, so perhaps this isn't an example of that. If you think about Hillary being the front runner, but why would Bernie have so much traction, right? And of course, this past week, Ted Cruz dropped out of the race, which left Donald Trump at the front of the Republican Party. And okay, so we can all say maybe he's funded the elites in the past, but he brought them down.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean.
I think in that, yeah, you know, there's a whole different discussion on why Trump and Sanders, which we won't go into.
Okay,
you're welcome. But I would say that. But if you look at Trump, Trump doesn't do email. Trump doesn't even use the phone that much. Trump tweets. He's got like six and a half million. And that's nothing, though. That six and a half million followers on Twitter is nothing, because he tweets it out and every news media follows
exactly.
him. And he creates news every night in his jammies at Trump Tower.
With his Twitter account.
At like 68 or 69 years old, he's sitting there, you know, with Melania somewhere else probably. And he's 1 o'clock in the morning. He gets all fired up about something. He starts tweeting it out. And it's the top news of the morning shows.
You got to wonder, is he like on the commode, you know, going, yeah, I don't want to know that for the 6 a.m. news tomorrow right here.
Yeah. But it shows how it's changing and how the old structures are crumbling in a lot of ways.
And you used to have to set up organizations and political, and I know he's done some of that.
Very little.
But he has not followed the rules.
Cruz did it better than about anybody, and he lost.
It's fascinating. So I think what's happening is we're watching all of this change. And so it's another way that technology is disrupted. You know, for a while it was like, well, I guess I can't use the Yellow Pages anymore because, you know, people use Google, that Google thing. Well, now, guess what? Google's not enough anymore. You can't do without it. You know, you got to have Google rankings for your business. But we have to be thinking about ways that we can reach into these cultures.
Yeah, you can't just press publish and expect things to just...
Oh, no. Yeah. That's a total waste.
Yep. I think this is an interesting story. We're going to link out to this. So if you're listening and you want to read this whole article, I think it is worth reading despite the clickbaity title.
Yeah.
So, Josh, thanks for finding this one. I think it's an interesting...
Yeah, you're right. The headline is not totally representative, but it's how people get to it. If he'd have said content marketing is evolving, yawn.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody's clicking on that.
That's true. And it would have been more accurate, but it's another. Right. It's actually a good example of how you sort of have to play the game right now to cut through the noise.
You do, and yet it wasn't so far off that now you don't trust him anymore.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so great example of a brand that killed it, that did create their own culture, Red Bull.
Oh, okay.
And the events and the videos and the movies.
Sure.
And they partner with... any number of high performance athletes, snowboarders, and they create content that goes viral. People love being on this stuff. So first of all, they can ask anybody to come on and people are like, yeah, I'll slide down the slide, you know, and get launched 50 feet into a lake.
I feel like they followed a trail that had been blazed somewhat by Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
But, with the extreme sports and some of that sort of stuff.
Sure.
But I think you're 100% right. I think they created their own thing there. So cool. When we come back, we'll be talking about mobile stuff. We have some mobile stuff to discuss.
Mobile.
It's changing everything.
Let me tell you about the time when
I realized I had to manage a whole bunch of Twitter accounts.
Matter of fact, that time happened to me just right now. And I'm doing it right now.
Hey, you're tweeting. Who are you tweeting? You're tweeting. No, that's not your Twitter account.
Matter of fact, it's not my Twitter account. Matter of fact, I just sent a tweet for a client using Hootsuite.
Ah.
While we're doing this.
I like Hootsuite.
It is so easy. It's so simple. Did my little drop down to the client. Did a little shrink the link there. Typed it in. Boom.
Shrink the link there.
And it has tracking on those links, analytics. You
it
can
does.
Measure.
You can schedule it all over the place.
Got a nice calendar view so you can see what all is coming up.
Yep. Hey, doesn't it integrate with more than just Twitter?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, you got Facebook on it. You got a number of different ones on it. Yep.
And you can send all of that stuff and manage it all from a nice, easy interface. I like it. It's also got support for Teams. I don't know if
you guys... Yep, there are. Yep,
yeah,
there's Teams on it.
We have multiple users in our business that have Hootsuite accounts all under that.
Okay, so like if you have like a customer service rep or something like that.
You can assign stuff to people, designate who's responsible to respond to it, all
nice.
That sort of good stuff. Yeah,
yep.
It's a really great way for you to manage one big Twitter account as a team or to manage a whole bunch of Twitter accounts as one person.
Absolutely.
Or as many.
You can run campaigns on it. You can even do ads through it. It's really, it's expanding nicely.
And if you sign up at gtdshow.com/hoot, you will also be supporting Grow the Dream Show at the same time. Now, of course, you can use it for free. But if you do the team stuff, it is a paid subscription. So
yeah, do that thing you did earlier.
Oh, you got to go to gtdshow.com/hoot.
Hoot.
Hoot. Hey, we think you'll like it. gtdshow.com/hoot.
Hoot.
Hoot. All right, and we're back with more of episode 66.
Yeah, so we promised that we would talk about mobile.
I feel like people need to know how to solve the mobile problem.
All right, so here's one way we're going to get into this. Is okay. There's a survey here that said that nearly half of all small businesses will have mobile app by 2017.
I'm sorry.
And that's pretty much how we all, you know, responded to
bland
it.
Bland laughter.
It's, you know, they're talking about how small businesses are finally realizing the potential of mobile apps to gain more customers and increase sales. And yeah, actually pretty much everybody understands that. Right now, something like 20% of businesses have a mobile app, and they're saying by 2017, which FYI, that's next year,
holy
50%
cow.
Will. And
this is in the United States,
right? And so they're asking a bunch of businesses if you plan to, and a lot of them have heard they need to, so they're going to say yes, we plan to, and most of those are not going to make it happen.
And
next
this
year.
Is despite the fact, in the face of the fact, that 50% of small businesses don't have a website.
That's right. So we just talked about 50% still don't have a website, but somehow
thinking about they're going to make an app.
They're going to have a mobile app next year.
Because I feel like the same people who are behind the decision to we don't need a website are behind the decision to go, let's build a mobile app.
Yeah,
I mean. I really kind of
That's what the kids are using these days.
Exactly.
Mobile apps.
You know, there's a valid point here.
Are you on the Snapchats?
Yeah.
I'm on the Snapchats.
Oh, man. All my cousins are Snapchatters. And so recently I was out of town and we had a little bit of a family get together. It was not for a good reason, mind you, but we were all together. So anyway, I reinstalled Snapchat.
Yeah.
I had tried it before, but I couldn't figure out how to use it.
Did you play around with the filters yet?
Oh, the filters are a riot.
That was a whole dinner table thing because I wasn't on Snapchat.
Oh, you did it too?
Yeah, the whole dinner. All of the young people at my dinner table.
All the young people.
Because last time
I brought up on this show, you both looked at me like I was.
Yep, exactly.
Weird.
Well, I am now educated on it because everybody's cracking up, and I said, "Can I please be in on what this joke is?"
So then they started doing it. Was it the taco?
It was all of the different things you do with the faces on it.
Cinco de Mayo, Taco Bell sponsored a taco.
Well, sure they did.
And you could become a taco, and it had eyes.
Did it have orange hair?
No. There was no hair because it was huge, and there were just your eyes and your mouth were in the side of
that
the taco.
That right there is the ultimate native advertising.
It was brilliant.
Ultimate.
Good example of what we were just talking about a few minutes ago.
That pulls it all together.
Culturally,
yep,
right?
Because they're fitting into a cultural niche.
Exactly.
Yep.
It was brilliant. I don't know how much
people
that cost
like
them.
To stay up till 2 in the morning and go.
Oh, funny. Funny. So anyway, but so here's the point that this guy's making. Victor Moronic. That's kind of ironic.
Maybe he doesn't pronounce it that way.
I hope not. I'm sorry, Victor. But he's the CEO of a company that builds mobile apps. Okay, so just take this with a grain of salt. But here's what he said. 3 years ago, a small business might see 10% of its total traffic coming from mobile. But right now, it's closer to 70%. Within the next couple of years, a shift to a mobile app or a mobile-friendly site will become obvious. So I think he's kind of conflating mobile app and mobile-friendly site.
I think he just woke up.
But here's the thing, and I was recently on a webinar with a company that said, you know, all this responsive design stuff has kind of led people down the wrong path, and you really need a separate mobile-friendly site. And this is a company in 2016, mind you. What is this? May of 2016. And they are still pitching the idea that you should really build a separate mobile-friendly site.
Wow.
And I was in shock.
As opposed to just an app.
Well, at the end of the day, I'm not sure there's a lot of difference between the two, except, of course, with the app, you require people to install it before they'll visit it. But this is the problem that I have with this. Why in the world would anyone ever install your mobile app, number one? Mm-hmm. Number two, what on earth would cause them to ever go back to it? You know, you got to have a compelling reason for this stuff, and those are two major questions that I feel like a lot of businesses don't even bother to answer.
Right.
You got to be a pretty compelling company to have an app on my phone. And, you know, Amazon, Redbox, Zillow, Hootsuite. I mean, you know, there's reasons.
These are brands you use, right?
These are big brands. So, you know, every small company I come across or use, I'm not going to download and use their app.
And how many apps have you downloaded in the past that at the time you were really excited about it?
They're gone. They're all gone.
And you forget to use them, and then eventually you replace your phone, you never reinstall them, or you start going,
I
need more room.
Phone.
I got to delete some stuff.
Oh, yeah. Space on your phone is a real issue for
it
a lot
is.
Of people.
Yep. So, and it's finite. Now, granted, Apple and other device makers keep giving us bigger and bigger storage levels.
That's going to help. Yeah.
But it's still finite.
Yeah.
Well, not that, some of us just don't like a whole crap ton of apps on our phone.
Well, and you got
to like it.
You have to figure out a strategy that if your strategy isn't working on your website and in social media, the content you're producing or the partnerships you're working on, whatever strategy or the rewards program you have, if you haven't figured it out through the existing channels
exactly.
that are out there,
right.
creating an app is not going to solve your problem.
It's not going to solve your problem.
Down the road, if you've got traction with some stuff and you're like, wow, this is really, really working, let's figure out how we can integrate this into our own branded app.
Yeah.
But okay. You need to figure out the bugs first.
We have to figure out mobile, though, because here's a fascinating fact for you. You know, we just came through the earnings calls for all the major tech companies here in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's been interesting.
And, of course, we already talked a little bit about Facebook's results. But get this. Facebook's ad revenue in the first quarter of 2016 jumped 57%. Total ad revenue jumped 57% to $5.2 billion in the first quarter.
Just competition increasing, so bids are going up on stuff?
I think more advertisers are jumping in. But here's the deal. Mobile ad revenue accounted for 82% of their total ad revenue.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, when I run an ad, I do mobile only, don't I?
82% of the mobile ad revenue that Facebook is generating is, or 82% of its ad revenue is coming from mobile. So what this tells us is that not just our advertisers, look, advertisers are competing for that ad spot on mobile for a reason.
Yeah.
That's where the users are.
Right.
The company said also, this is from a Business Insider story, 1.65 billion people are now using Facebook at least once a month. That's 1.65 billion monthly actives. And here's the point. As long as the users are there, Facebook's going to continue to monetize them. So
of course.
This is where people are. And I feel like it's
and they're using it mobile.
They're using it on mobile. And Google's been trying to tell us this for a long time. Hey, right. You got to have a mobile-friendly site or we're going to penalize you in the rankings. Mm-hmm. In effect. That's not exactly how they said it.
Here's how I always end up seeing this work out in the marketplace. You know, obviously, if you're at a Starbucks and there's a line, is there anybody that's not on their phone?
I'm playing pool. I downloaded 8-Ball Pool.
Right. So everybody's doing something.
Very addictive.
They're Snapchatting, their Twitter feed, their, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
They're doing that. But that's not just at a semi-hip place like Starbucks. If you go to a Publix with, you know, the moms and their shopping carts and everything, you see the same thing.
They're right. Crashing into each other in the aisles. It's terrible.
That's right. I mean, anywhere you go where there's anybody waiting for anything at all, I mean, honestly, in the doctor's waiting room in Sarasota, where, you know, the demographic there is...
older than you.
Yes, considerably older than me. You're still going to find half of those people in there, gray hairs and everything, in with their walkers, and they sit down and they get out their mobile phone.
Hey, are you on the Snapchat?
So there is no doubt that this is the future.
Right, right.
True. You know, the thing we were talking about with this guy is he was using content marketing on the earlier thing.
Yeah, the cultural dude.
Yeah, content. And you know, to sell stuff. Okay, so that's fine. He's doing that. No, we're not really buying those numbers at all. But it does make the point, and then Facebook's ad revenue clearly reiterates it. That mobile is the future, and if you are a company, you have to be looking at this at some point seriously, not just talking about looking
at
it.
I would say most of our listeners would agree with that. I think we've made that point. So what do they do? If they're not, if creating their own app is not the first thing they should do, it's probably number 10 after they figured out some other strategies down the road.
Or number million, like, I don't know. But yeah, okay, so what do you do? Well, of course, we've said it on this show, even going back a year ago, you've got to have a responsive site.
Well,
mobile responsive site.
I think that needs to happen. But I think also you need to be thinking about how do you create native content somehow in some of these other places?
Okay, that you're not just pushing out from your site, but you're actually publishing directly to a Facebook.
I think there's lessons to be learned as the alternative to creating an app, creating native content in other mobile channels people are using.
Instagram is still, of course, a very important one.
Sure, sure.
Snapchat is getting there. Taco Bell. Depending on your demographic. Obviously, it largely depends on your demographic.
Yeah.
You know, but you're right. We can't just anymore think, okay, I got this idea for a piece of content and then send it out to 10 channels.
I think where a lot of people maybe are assuming that mobile apps are the things they need to develop is maybe on a rewards program is their thought. Like, we can use this to send messages to people, perhaps.
I could see where, you know, give you an example. Recent upgrade to the Starbucks app, since we're talking about Starbucks, allows you to place your order before you get to the store.
Yeah,
fantastic. It uses your location. It knows where you are. It finds the nearest Starbucks, places your order, and they even give you either, is it a discount or more bonus points or something? They give you like rewards, extra reward points if you do this. There's some gimmick about it at the moment, and obviously it hasn't sunk in with me, but there is one.
You know it exists.
I do, and I've not actually placed an order with the app, but I could see that depending on the scenario, I might. If I were in an urban center like a New York City and I were walking, I would definitely do it.
Or how about if you're
I'm
just
usually driving to Starbucks, so I'm not going to...
No, but if you're traveling somewhere, you're on the road.
Yeah.
And you don't know what... There's going to be a Starbucks at some future exit coming up here, you know? I just want to find one, order it.
No, I'll use it for that. Well, I wouldn't place the order while I'm driving, though.
Man, I tell you, once...
I wouldn't.
Once Siri, and what's the Google equivalent?
Well, they don't give her a name.
Oh, they should totally give her a name.
No, I like it that they don't.
Once these things actually grow up and actually work, like, to be able to just talk to your phone and say, phone, order me a double venti mocha cappuccino.
Yeah, from my favorite Starbucks, because it'll know what one you usually go to.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the next one I'm coming across, because it's already mapped your route for you and it knows where you're going.
Right.
Yeah. I think that would be great. I love that idea. So mobile's happening all around us, and I agree with you, Josh. You know, finding ways to engage with the audiences there in the channels where they are. And that's why Facebook ads are selling so well, because we know the audience is there.
And that's why instant articles, I feel, are important.
Yeah.
Like even more so than maybe having a mobile responsive site in some ways, because that's kind of the equivalent of a native article in Facebook.
I just feel like if people try to adopt the new thing without covering, I mean,
No, I agree. If you're coming out, you should already have mobile.
You should
responsive.
Have a site, and it should be mobile. It should be mobile responsive because it's going to impact your Google traffic.
Yeah,
because Google is having the same thing. People are using Google more often for mobile than they are from desktop devices now. That's not really true for me.
Okay,
but it's true for many people.
So
you know?
I want to talk about a local business that's using mobile. The rewards program in a way that I think is really smart.
Okay, who is it?
Instead of building it on their own, okay, it's Kawa Coffee.
Oh, yeah.
You love Kawa Coffee.
Right. Yeah.
These guys have, I use Passbook, which is basically an app on iPhone that lets you scan stuff. That's how I pay for my Starbucks stuff.
Okay.
Kawa Coffee has their own barcode, their own QR code that I go up and scan and charge stuff. And my card's on account with them.
Okay, is that through Passbook also?
Yes.
With Kawa? Okay.
But they did not develop the app on their own. They partnered with a company called Level Up, and the hardware that they use to scan the QR code that integrates with their POS system is by Level Up.
Oh.
And so when I download the app, I download Level Up, which works with hundreds of different businesses, and that handles my rewards program with them. It's very simple. For every $50, I get another $3, and it's automatically put on my account, and that's simply how it works.
Okay. And apparently there's an Android app for Level Up also. So maybe that's a way that you could... So that's more of a retail type business.
Right. But you don't have to worry about keeping up with development of, you know,
maintaining
the
code.
App.
Right.
Exactly.
Oh, that's a great niche. I mean, Level Up, that's got real future there.
You're going to pay them something, but you would pay out the...
Of course you would.
To develop one on your own.
Interesting idea. All right, so we'll link out to that, and maybe if you have a retail business, that might be useful.
Yes.
All right, so when we come back, we're going to have the tool of the week. I'm excited about the tool.
Tools.
But we have something that you can download. So today's show is brought to you in part by...
Me.
Oh, yeah, us. The Grow the Dream Show. What we did is we created a free download. Of course, we've been giving away the thing on PR, Rod, which has been great, that Rod, you wrote. Mm-hmm. But we've got a new free report called 5 Ways to Increase Your Response.
Which is something David wrote?
I did. It goes back a little ways to the basics, I think. Because I feel like, you know, when you're trying to prepare your Facebook ad, or you're writing a blog post, or you're creating an ad of any kind, or shooting a video, or naming your YouTube video, or whatever. You know, a lot of people don't realize that you can get more response just by changing the words that you use.
Uh-huh.
So this is a pretty sizable document. I don't remember how many pages it is. It's like 20 pages, maybe 15, 20 pages, something like that.
I do not know how many pages it is.
I should have looked before we started talking about it, but I didn't. Rod, you can open it while I'm talking and you can tell me.
I had it open earlier, but it's 15 pages.
I told you it's 15 pages. So with the title page,
the beautiful pictures.
Isn't that nice? You know, like that? Anyway, it's a lot of fun.
So what's in it?
There are 5 ways. The first way
is to use a headline.
Thank you, Rod. It's to use a headline. And we talk about headlines in there, what makes a good headline. And so for your email, for example, the headline is the subject line. For your YouTube video, it's the title of the video. Yep. For your ad, it's, you know, the copy that you write, you know, the first copy that people see. And some people suggest that as much as 60 or 70% of a buying decision is made just from the headline.
Really? Like the death of content marketing headline?
Yeah, you and I would have decided, nope, not going to even read it. But Josh, you read it, and I'm glad you did. So anyway, there are 4 more ways, lots of tools, lots of things that you'll find interesting in this free report. So I'd like to encourage you to go download it. You can get it at gtdshow.com/response. So 5 ways to increase your response. I think you'll find it useful. I hope so. We want to hear back from you if you do. Again, it's gtdshow.com/response.
All right.
Now, who's going to ask me how I built that?
Tool
how did you put that together, David?
Week.
I'd love to know how you put that together.
All right. This is this week's Tool of the Week. I'm very excited about this because I had been needing to put this thing together or some version of this for a while.
Yep.
And I mean, you're going to put together a free report, right? We all know that we need lead magnets or free reports or free downloads or whatever on our website. And yet the pain is creating it, right?
Yeah.
You got to write it. You got to design it, lay it out. Rod, how does that thing look to you? Does it look nice?
No, it looks real nice.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Here's what I did.
Does it look like he had hired a designer?
It kind of does.
Very professional.
Yeah. Yep. So I went to Beacon, and you can find him at beacon.by, BEACON.BY. This is our tool of the week.
.BY?
I don't know why, but that's what they did it. Whatever. Beacon.by, I guess. Anyway, what you do, they have a WordPress plugin. And so you download the WordPress plugin. You sign up for an account at Beacon. And they do have a paid service. I did pay for it. It is worth it. So this is a paid tool. I don't remember if there's a free trial. But basically what you do is you install the WordPress plugin. And it takes your blog posts and assembles them into a PDF for you. That looks really good. So you install it in WordPress. It also works on HubSpot, and it works on a couple of other platforms as well. And you select your blog posts, and this came from the Grow the Dream blog. So there are a bunch of, I mean, I've been blogging there for years.
Are those kind of years longer than normal years? If you just say years, is it not as
much
long?
Longer? Okay, yeah,
so
absolutely.
You're saying this response piece of content is something you wrote a while back.
This is 5 separate blog posts. Actually, it's a total of 6 separate blog posts assembled into one PDF. And it grabbed the photos that I had uploaded into WordPress and stuck them in the appropriate places. And then they had a set of stock photos that you could choose for the cover. And they have a very simple editor that allows you to go in and tweak things because there are things that are in blog posts that don't belong in a PDF.
Right.
Wow. They're like,
if you're taking it from one and you see, all right, there might be a dated sentence in there,
exactly,
something like that, you can take that out.
You can tweak it, edit it, or whatever. And it's a very simple wizard. You could literally have built this in about 3 minutes.
That's magical.
And it kicks out a PDF. And there's also an HTML5 mobile-friendly version of the free report that you can send mobile users to if you don't want to send them the PDF, because I don't know you, but on your iOS devices, PDFs on Android, not the most friendly experience. You got to select which app you're going to open it with, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Once you close it, where'd it go? You know, there is a place, but most people don't have good file managers on their devices like I do. I'm a file manager freak. Anyway, so they make an HTML5 version that just loads in the browser, and it looks fantastic. It's the same exact content, just laid out a little differently. They have themes. You can easily select colors.
Is it free?
We already covered that.
We did. So how can our listeners get to it?
Just go to beacon.by. And I'm actually checking right now, Josh. I think there may be a free trial, but I'm not sure about that. I bought it. I tell you what, I tested it. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try it. Oh, yeah, there is a free trial. It has the Beacon logo in it and so forth. You can buy $9, $29, or $69 a month versions of the tool.
Wow, that's fantastic.
I love it.
Love, love, love.
It is fantastic. So anyway, beacon.by, and that is my tool. So I have officially contributed to the tool of the week now.
Good for you.
You like that?
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic. We all need these things, man. We got to have lead magnets, gated content, ways to increase your list, build your list.
You want my tool, or should I save it?
You have a tool,
week?
Yeah.
Yep.
Can we do it in
postreach.co?
Okay.
postreach.co. You sign in with your Twitter URL or Twitter name, and then enter your email, and then paste the URL, the piece of content you've written, and it pulls a bunch of social analytics from the different platforms for you.
Interesting.
So, and then the other feature is you can add an RSS feed, and it'll automatically send you reports for the new content that you produce and publish.
Wow.
Looks like a free tool. I don't know if they're going to do some paid stuff later on, but I can't think of anything like this really out there. So I'm playing around with it. So far, it's told me that some of my content sucks.
Isn't that painful?
We need to know that.
Yeah. Data that tells you how poorly you're doing is kind of a bummer. But, you know, if without it,
yeah.
But again, I mean, you can learn from the ones that work and the ones that don't.
Yeah,
that's true.
I learned that apparently people are sharing my stuff on LinkedIn. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Really?
Okay. That's interesting because you kind of poo-poo LinkedIn, don't you?
Well, not anymore.
Not anymore.
Exactly. My buffer post to LinkedIn, but I don't go there for anything.
Okay.
Maybe a couple of weeks ago he was poo-pooing LinkedIn, but today it's like, hey, people are posting that.
I know.
I love it. All right. Well, I think it's been a fun show, you guys.
Yeah, excellent.
Super duper. Have another great show coming up next week, and we have some guests coming up that I'm excited about.
Oh, yeah?
We're not going to say who they are, but we have some good stuff coming.
Super duper. Looking forward to it.
Yep. All right. Hey, by the way, send us an email, will you? You can email us at show@growthedream.com. You can also hit us up on the Twitter. At GT Show. You can find Josh on Twitter at Josh Mucho.
Mucho.
It's
Josh Mucho.
M-U-C-C-I-O is how you spell Mucho. You can find Rod Thompson. He's Rod_Thompson. And of course, remember, there's no P in Thompson.
And you can find David Johnson at the David Johnson.
That's me. All right, guys, we'll see you next week. Bye now.
Thanks for listening to the Grow the Dream Show. We invite you to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Get connected to our growing community, add your comments, ask questions, and listen to the archives on the web at growthedream.com/show.